than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear call. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his call.
Praise God. Praise God. How many glad, amen, that you love him. It is written, we love him because he first loved us. Praise God. And that he first loved us, he showed us how to love. Amen. And showed us how to reach out to his love. For just a few minutes here tonight, I'd like to put forth a thought from Luke chapter 2 and the great word of the Lord. And while you're turning there, I just want to recognize everyone that's online with us tonight. Obviously, we have Sister Felicia and Brother and Sister Alfred and the kids. Brother Tim and Sister Christine are also online with us on YouTube. They're quarantining as well while they wait for a report from somebody else that they were around. So it's what it is, and they're doing, they're wanting to do the right thing, obviously. And I'm sure they're fine. They feel fine. They're just being precautious. And we have Sister Della online with us. She's been with us in many services now, and we appreciate her. And Sister Alice Stevens, God bless you. And we're so sorry that you lost your son and sister this year. It's been a tough one for a lot of us. We lost her dad this year as well, and my wife's grandmother, and sister-in-law. So it's been 2020. My sister Lynn's brother, and we could just go on the list down, but we're still here, and through it all, we're going to end up okay. We're going to end up okay. And Sister Nancy, Sister Nelda from Texas, and Sister Susan Danforth from right here in Norwich, and my brother Phillip's online with us as well. And we just appreciate everybody. We're just so glad for everyone taking time to be with us in our service when you could be doing 101 other things. Amen. I want to read something in Luke chapter 2. And unless my memory has served me wrong and I haven't found any other passages, what I'm going to read to you tonight is the only epistle that's got this account in it. And when you think about it, 66 books, thousands of scriptures. And yet there's one little section of Scripture, and we found this on many occasions where it's the only account. The Gospel of John is a good example of that, where we would have never known the men at the Pool of Bethesda had not John written about it, right? The woman at the well had not John written about it. The blind man who spat on the ground had John not written about it. So it's those isolated moments where you have to appreciate the fact that God
has preserved something for us to read and glean and learn from. There's a reason for the specific. So we read in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 40. I think we'll just read at verse 40. This is talking about the Lord Jesus, obviously. Praise God. Chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, hallelujah. How many thank you for the good word of the Lord? Amen. Praise God. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture. And I suppose all along, every time I've ever read it, there's always been something in the back of my mind. Although I might not have paid attention to it a whole lot, there was something in the back of my mind that was saying, why is this in here? Was it in here because we were going to need a good filler for a good Christmas special? Did Hollywood need more details to make something cute? Is it just another reason for another cute sermon? You know what I mean? I'm not here to be silly or anything. I'm asking a sincere question. And it's a question that many a times that I've read it, I've often read it and just thought about why? Why is this here? Why did Luke include this history of this moment? And why is it important enough that it's in here? Now, he had 11 years prior to this, and apparently nothing happened that God felt like needed to be in Scripture, and there was nothing that happened after the age of 12 to the time he was about 30 years of age that needed to be in Scripture, but yet he's on the earth. Hallelujah. How many of us understand, really get the fact that God is a purpose-driven Savior? He is a purpose-driven God. He doesn't do anything for no reason. I mean, he could. We do stuff for no reason. We do a lot of times stuff for no reason. We look sometimes for a reason to do stuff for no reason. When we don't feel like doing anything. Praise God. But God's not that way. And when it specifically comes, at least I can say it doesn't seem like he's that way, pertaining to his word. I'm not here to talk on behalf of God. He can do whatever he wants to. But his word, we know, is it's fitly framed together. There's no ism or schism. There's no discrepancy in what is actually Holy Scripture. People's opinions of it, private interpretations, yes, that can be littered with discrepancies. But nothing's in the word of God by chance. There has to be somewhere in this. There has to be a lesson, but for who? Why did we need to know that at the age of 12, he decided that it was okay to stay behind? at the age of 12. I mean, think about it. If you're going home somewhere and your kid decides to stay where they were and you're going a long distance to where you're going home and they just decide to, it's one thing when they're 20, they might get away with it and they might get a phone call saying, where are you? But it's nothing when they're 12. And to appreciate the moment, we've got to get unreligious with it. We've got to forget the holiday. We've got to forget the time of the year. This always gets red, possibly. And we've got to just sort of grab it like an orange and just squeeze it for what it's worth and ask the question, why? Why is he saying what he's saying at the age? Why is he telling his parents, why did you come looking for me? They've been looking for him for like almost 4 days. They took a day's journey to go home. They find out he's not there. And then he's searching for him. And both Mary and Joseph are searching for this kid for 3 days. For 3 days. You think, I'm thinking, see, I'm not trying to be carnal here. I'm just trying to think of from the perspective of mom and dad who don't know. They, as much as we want to put into this verse or this passage of scripture, they knew, you know, and get all the angels out and the halos flying and all the holy things going, well, they knew, Mary knew. No, she didn't. Neither did he. There were two parents kicked off that their kid's somewhere. And they don't know where he's at. That's why she says, we've been looking for you, sorrowing. Doesn't say we've been looking for you because we want to make this a nice Christmas card. And just cherish this event. And there must be something special about why you didn't tell us you were staying in Jerusalem. No, that's not what happened. I guarantee you Joseph was looking to give him a backhand. Said, not the Savior. No, look, stop overthinking Scripture. He's a man, this is his kid, and regardless of, sometimes, well, this is what I'm leading up to, give me a minute here. I'm trying to play to the parents who, I want you to get into this emotionally. I want you to say, put yourself in their place, forget all the stuff that we know now, because none of it had happened at this point. Their understanding was not fruitful, regardless of the dreams, of the angels, the visitations. Sometimes we forget all that stuff. Part of my point tonight. Just put yourself there if your kid decided to do that. How would you feel? Don't say, well, but it's Jesus. It's different. No, it's not. It's absolutely not different. Not on Joseph and Mary's part. It's not different. I just want you to, just for a moment, try to peel yourself away from the tradition that sometimes hides the lesson. And try to get the lesson. Feel what they're feeling. I don't know where my kid is. Forget the fact of all the miracles that brought him into the world. He's not in their company. How would you feel? Frantic, that's how you would feel. What do you think was going through the mind of Mary? 3 days in. 3 days of looking for him. And he's still where he's at, and I'm thinking to myself, what's he thinking? Savior or not, the kid's 12. I know this sounds really crazy, but just indulge me a minute. I haven't been drinking. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to step inside of Jesus' mind as a 12-year-old and their mind as parents. How frantic a person would be and how unfrantic he was. And the fact that at this age, he decided, I'm going to go somewhere, Brother Mike, and I'm going to stay there for several days, knowing the potential of what it's causing them. Just think on it. It leads me back to what I said originally. Who is this lesson for? He doesn't do anything by accident. He didn't decide, well, I'm 12 and I just feel like being myself today. I know that the fullness of time and the time for my ministry hasn't come, but I feel like showing out a little bit because I'm getting a little restless in this veil of tears. And I just want to kind of, you know, flex my spiritual muscles and let it be known the words here. That's not what he was doing. He told, in John chapter 2, he told the same woman that looked for him 18 years earlier. He told her when she came up and said, they're out of wine. He looked back at her and said, why are you asking me? My hour is not come. So he knew his hour. Again, it comes back to the question, then why is he here hearing and asking questions at the age of 12? Praise God. Just think on it a minute. I'm going to tell you why. I believe why. I just want to, it's good to interact with the Word. It's good to look deeper into Scripture. It's good to not be blinded by traditions and by our normal way of perceiving something simply because we're focused on one thing or one part of this event. I must be about my Father's business. And a lot of times we focus on that because it's such a profound statement. But we forget why it got said, or we could forget why it's been said, to whom it was being said to, and why he did what he did, and why this one block of Scripture and the entire Word of God, why it's included. Why do we need to know this? Again, I'm not trying to sound carnal. I'm just trying to work your mind a little bit and think to yourself, why? Why is this here? Why did we need to know this? And if it wasn't there, would we be missing something? Because there's a lot of stuff. Even John testified in John 21, if all the books were written. But even God knows there comes a point in time where 66 books is enough. If you can't be saved with 66 books, you can't be saved with 67. Amen? If Acts 2:38 can't save you, then no other verse will. He knows enough's enough. He's given us enough. Along with the Holy Ghost, His name, the understanding of who He is, the righteous lifestyle, the holy lifestyle. We've got more than what we need, even though sometimes we don't feel that way. We've got more than what we need to make it. We really do. We don't pay attention to it sometimes. We're too busy looking for our answer when the answer's been there all the time because we forget about it and it gets lost in our company. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Sometimes it just gets traveling with all the stuff and with all the family that we just get. Yeah, and we forget why it's here. We forget the purpose of it. We forget what we got. But there are times when all of a sudden it seems like Jesus goes missing. Oh, hallelujah. Because we need to go on a search for what we've always had, but sometimes we forget we've got it. And life gets the best of us. So he goes missing. So that we'll go on a 3-day sometimes prayer and fast. You understand what I'm saying? We go on a fast and prayer or a prayer, however you want to mix it up. We go on a search party. Hallelujah. That's why it says, seek my face. David said, my heart, O Lord, said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Why? Because sometimes he just gets lost in the company. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen, amen. Would you just lift your hands to him right now and cry out. Yeah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. One man preached, Brother Arnold, I believe, who said a statement in one of his sermons, and he said, don't doubt God, doubt your doubts. Amen. Doubt those things that want to deny the existence of power in you. Jesus testifying that he has given us everything we need to make it. He is not, we're not riding through this life on E. We're not riding through it with a quarter tank. We're not riding through it with a half a tank. When Christ filled us, he filled the tank. Amen. The fullness of his fullness have all we received. That's what the scripture says. Of what his fullness. Praise God. My cup, David said, overflows. He didn't say my tank's just barely going to help me get to the next service. Can I get through this next issue of life? COVID. 2020. I'm not mocking. It's hit everybody. I'm just making a point that life and all of its stuff can sometimes cause us to lose sight of who's in our company. And sometimes the Lord's smart enough to go missing. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Only God can say stuff like this. I'm not smart enough to say stuff like this. I'm not smart enough to put this in His Word. But God's smart enough, amen, to position Himself at a moment when He knows they've forgotten about me. They got used to me. They forgot that I came into their life upon the word of angels. Glory. Upon the word of prophecy. That I'm here to lighten the Gentiles. I'm here to bring hope and salvation and restoration to Israel. I'm here to mess this world up, amen, with my Holy Ghost power. That's why I'm here. And sometimes we forget why He's here, because we're so consumed with why we're here. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. 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 I'm finishing giving just a little bit more of your awakened mind. Praise God. So in other words, it's a lie that you don't have enough to make it. Any one of us would be right to go to the prayer room and to say to all the chaos that sometimes surrounds us, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. So I'm going to stay in the prayer room because I'm not here to talk to you or invite you to come in. Because you can't, number one. And I don't feel like talking to you, but I feel like expressing, you're a liar. If the scripture says no weapon formed against me shall prosper, then it's true. It's not just a feel-good scripture. Stop medicating yourself with scriptures. The scripture says let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3, I believe verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Don't mistake in what I'm saying, because oftentimes we use scriptures like patches. We use them to medicate the moment. And they're not designed to just make you feel good for the moment and sort of pacify. Remember the word of God. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So if it's the victory, it must mean that if we don't feel very victorious right now, God has imparted something unto us that will bring again the victory. But we might have to go looking for it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So to answer the question, who is this for? Well, I'm just going to say this, and it may just be part of it. I'm not here to say that Jesus wasn't there for the doctors to hear and answer questions. I'm talking about doctors of the law, not medical doctors. Doctors of Mosaic law. They needed him. But it could very well be that the whole reason he did this was for Mary and Joseph and for nobody else. It could be that the ones who bore the revelation of God in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself in the way that they did, that the lady who had Gabriel visit her and say, behold, you, hail you, blessed of all women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. That troubled her by his salutation. Joseph, when he thought to divorce her and put her away and say, I'm not taking her to wife, when she was found pregnant. That the Lord had to appear to Joseph in a dream and say, listen, bub, this is from me. What she said is true. And was true enough and real enough to Joseph in a dream to make him believe and know, I've heard from Jehovah God. So I'm going to obey God and take this woman to wife and not know her until this child is born. All these circumstances. And you hear from God again to say, get out of town. Herod wants to destroy the child. And then to be told again, the one who sought the child's dead, come back home. And settle in Galilee and Nazareth. So he already fulfilling huge, major portions of Scripture, both of them together. And yet both of them, it seems like, needs a moment where Jesus goes missing. Praise God. Yeah, parental nightmare. But he's not afraid to create one. What I'm saying is here that he wasn't, I'm going to say it like this. He wasn't trying to be a rebellious brat. He took a detour to stir up the minds of both Joseph and Mary. Stay on track and remember what you've got. Remember who you're taking care of. The word of God is still going to be fulfilled. I'm here for you. Don't get so comfortable with me being your kid. Hallelujah. Please understand what I'm saying here tonight. Praise God. It's not a moment of rebellion. It's a moment of remembrance for them. Hallelujah. Boy, how do you say stuff like this? Praise God. Make as much sense as you possibly can, because it doesn't ring right when you think about the age of 12 and the two parents searching frantically and Mary going hysterical for 3 days. She did. Again, so take all the stuff that we know and has been embellished and just oversaturated with nothingness, and just say it for what it is. That this kid's back in Jerusalem. And that's like a long way off from Nazareth. And he's there. This is when I'm closing tonight. Thank you for listening. I know I'm kind of repeating what I said, but I'll finish with reading this, his response to them. But he knows he's been there for 3 days, and that's sort of like, that could rub any parent wrong. I mean, 3 extra days. I know it's like growing up in a household of 7 and to have the 8 and 9-year-old just go missing for 3 days. That drives another group of you just batty, wondering what's happening to my kid. It's not like he's a teenager and probably into some trouble. This is your little kid. See, growing up where we grew up, I could be 8, 9 years old, and I'm riding the subways out of Charlestown into Boston or somewhere further up where we'd go shop in the malls, or we'd take our bicycle and go. We didn't go with mom and dad. We'd wait for mom and dad. We went on, played all day, came back for dinner time. We knew what time of dinner was. We came back. No one worrying about us. Yeah, we're in and out of vacant buildings and doing all sorts of stuff, but it doesn't matter. They don't know we're here. That's just the way it was for us growing up. So these days is a little bit different because people don't let their 10-year-olds out of their sight, nonetheless the 8 and 9-year-olds. But we had it was a different world back in the late 70s and early 80s where you can get away with stuff like that. Doesn't mean it was less evil. I'm just saying. I can understand. I'm just trying to say all this to say he's 12. And he's been gone for 3 days. You can't expect Joseph and Mary to be in a very good disposition. And that's my point. And I don't mean to be overkilling it. But think about what Joseph... Obviously, they have other kids at this stage. It's been 12 years. He's got other brothers and sisters being born. They're all younger than he is. I'm sure he's at a position where he feels like pulling a switch off a tree and tearing his kid up. Because he's got a wailing wife. Doesn't know where he is. None of them are thinking of all the stuff Gabe said. The shepherds singing by night and all that, you know, gold and myrrh and frankincense and all that great stuff that happened back then. It's 12 years into the future, and this guy's probably slightly upset with this kid. And Mary's upset. So we just think about the tone in which when they find him, how they're talking to him. And yet here's his response. Praise God. Let me just say this to you. Jesus is not afraid to upset you. And this is what I'm feeling tonight, and I'm not trying to make you say whatever you want, but I'm here to say one of the biggest things I can see out of this is he did it for them. He did it so that they could go away and have their hearts stirred. Like we read about Mary. Mary kept all these things in her heart while she went away thinking, because he baffled her. But what he was trying to do was remind her. It's to kick that heart in gear, because a few years from now, there's going to be some things happening. Yeah. Praise God. And I want to remind you so that in the future you don't forget. Look, I don't care how apostolic you are. We can all forget. We can all become Joseph and Mary. We can forget what we have in our hands, in our company. We can forget how miraculous he is. We get too used to this. We get too used to one another. We forget how to pray. Really pray. Really get a hold of God. Really see some miracles and wonders and signs happen. When we need them, really bring the glory down, because we forget that it can still come down. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good. All right. Let me just read 48 now and just finish. Thank you for listening. Still before 9, we're good. And when they saw him, they were amazed. It's a kind way to put it. You can see Joseph looking for a nearby sycamore. That's thin enough to pull off it. Ask those doctors to kindly go into the temple for a moment. They were amazed, and his mother said unto him, "Son, what in tarnation are you doing to us? What possessed you to go mid? Do you know how long we've been searching for you?" Well, Mom and Dad, what would you say? Some of you wouldn't say anything. You'd do, and then you'd say. That's the generation we grew up in. I love you. Get in your room. You know, you heard talk, but it wasn't verbal. So she's expressing that we're not happy about this. We've been sorry. I've been worried sick. What are you doing here? And here's his answer. It sounds so 12-year-old-ish. "I have no idea why you're looking for me." Stop. Rewind. Play. "Son, we've been looking for you for 3 days. And we've been sorrowing, worried, sick, hearing that you're dead. What are you doing to us?" "I don't have any idea why you're looking for me." If you're laughing, good. That's what he said. "How is it that you sought me?" What I want to bring you back now. But that's what he said. But sometimes we don't stop and think about what he just said to these people that have been looking for him. Realistically, they've been looking for 4 days. They went a day's journey and then came back and been looking, searching for 3 days. Well, we'll just say what she said. "Total of 3 days. We've been looking for you." Why? But now with the comedy aside and think about what he's saying. This is why I'm saying to you tonight that he did what he did for those two especially. "How is it that you sought me? Didn't you know? Don't you understand? Don't you get it? I must be about my Father's business." Hallelujah. Praise God. That sounds such like a scriptural answer. It doesn't sound like an answer a 12-year-old would give, does it? So that's the point of all of this. You're coming from hysteria to absolute calm on the side of the kid, which would seem typical for a 12-year-old to sort of somehow portray that he doesn't understand the consequence of his actions. You know what I mean? There's this calm. I mean, we read it like, well, how do you, I don't understand. You know, there's no feeling. He's not hugging Mom. He's not saying, "Dad, oh, I'm so sorry. I should have sent you a text." None of that. There's no remorse here. There's no remorse that says, "I goofed up. I dropped the ball. I was wrong." What he's saying to those two, and this is tough for Mom and Dad to hear. "You're 12. I'm not. I'm twice your age at least. So you're wrong, I'm right." But he's telling them, "I'm not wrong for what I did, and you should have known why I did it. But because you don't, I did it." Verse 50 says they didn't understand. What does that tell you? They have long spaced themselves from Gabriel, from the choir singing in heaven, from the shepherds, from the wise men, from the gold, the myrrh and the frankincense, from being in Egypt, from God telling them to go, Herod wanting to kill the kid, all the babies being slain in Bethlehem. Isn't it amazing how distant we can become from the ways of God, from the operation of God, and sometimes absolutely sit on an apostolic pew and die. Until we finally realize when we come to church in the company, in our company, in our travels, in our everyday doing of things, that all of a sudden we're going through the motions and we suddenly realize Jesus isn't here. Let's stand. I promise I'd quit. I'm not here rebuking us tonight by any means. I'm just here to teach a lesson here tonight. Praise God. That I hope will make some sense. Everything, Pastor sings, he sings a song, he's everything and more. Praise God. He's everything, praise God, and more. Everything that Jesus has ever been for you, he still is. He hasn't gone anywhere, have you? Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. If you realize that somehow Jesus is somewhere else, go find him. And realize he went there to save you so you could find you. Praise the Lord. God's so good. I don't think I have to say any more. Just let it all soak in. Hallelujah. Let's just love him. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Just because God fills you with the Holy Ghost, it doesn't mean, especially right away, that you know what you've got. Or that you understand what you've got. They didn't understand, but she pondered these things. She kept these sayings in her heart. Why? Because she's trying to figure out her own kid. Knowing how he got here, but God stirred her up again one more time in the middle of it all. To remember, this really isn't your kid. Remember the end of Luke 3 gives a genealogy that when Jesus began his ministry as he was about the age of 30, as was supposed the son of Joseph. That's how it's written. But you could have said, as was supposed, the son of Mary as well. Although he was the son of Mary. Technically speaking. Came out of her belly. Hallelujah. But he came out of that belly with flesh and bone and blood made of a woman. Made under the law. Came out from God. Through her, to remind her, I must be about my Father's business. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's just love him again. I'm not going to keep preaching this so much to it. Just let it do for you whatever it's done for you right now. God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We don't want to forget why we've got what we've got. We don't want to forget our calling. We don't want to forget the anointing. We don't want to forget the purpose of God. We don't want to get so caught up, God, with this life and all the things that are going on that, God, we don't even know you've left us. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God, we want you in our company. Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Knowing that, God, you're in this world to do why, amen, and what you've come to do. Hallelujah. Bless, Lord, this people right now. In Jesus' name, bless this congregation right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One more thing. Isn't it amazing that he's concerned enough about you that when it seems like he's lost who he is in your company, that he's willing to jolt you. That he's that concerned about you knowing and remembering what you've got. The apostle said, stir it up. That's their way of saying it, stir it up. And Jesus knows how to stir it up. If you don't stir it up, he'll stir it up. And make you go on a journey to go find him. So that you realize what you had when you had him. And to keep it stirred up. He is that mindful enough that you are always before him. Amen. In other words, we put the Lord always before us. That he is in our forefront. He's at our right hand. That we should not be moved. He's that concerned that if he's not where he's supposed to be in your life. And doing what he came to do. We should never be surprised at a miracle. He'll just simply say, wist ye not? Sometimes he does it so he can take us out of our activities to say, this is why I'm here. This is what I'm trying to say. I'm done. Thank you. I am here to perform the miracle you need. You're not getting it because you're forgetting why I'm here. Sometimes, in other words, he's got to take us out of the rat race of everything and bring us to the prayer room when we finally realize I've got to go pray. I mean, I've got to really go pray. I've got to go searching and I've got to go digging and I've got to discover where the Christ is. And he'll be where he's supposed to be to remind you this is why he's here. And so that you can get what you need to get from him. Amen. Brother Bradley, come into prayer, so I'll stop.
Dare I say anything except heed the word of God. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for a word that is true, a word that will wake us, Lord, a word that will shake us, Lord, a word that will cause us to go to a prayer room and say, what am I missing? What is it that I need to regain? Oh, search my heart, know my ways, Lord. Oh, God, that you were ever before us, let us ever be before you. Jesus, touch us, move us, cause us to see you, Lord, in the light that we need to see you. Oh, Lord, bless your people. God, keep us safe in this crazy world. Lord, let your word sink down to our heart yet again and stir us, Lord, to know you and to know that you are with us always. And that your word is truth. And Lord, that we would never doubt the fact that you're with us and by us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.